Did Batman have nipples in that one? I can't remember.
No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Popular Science's Techathlon, tech news through games, trivia, and usually friendly competitions. I'm your host, Jason Letterman, and playing along with me today are Corinne Iuzio.
It's not even Halloween yet.
It's October, which is spooky season.
Okay.
Stan, horror check.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'll take it.
And Killer Rob Botverger.
I'm a Killer Rob Bot all year round.
Let's get started with the Techathlon, 10 trivia questions to catch you up on the week's tech news. I'll ask our panel all about what's been happening in the tech world since our last episode. They'll buzz in to answer and get points for each question they correctly answer. They'll also have the opportunity to steal any question that their fellow panelists answer incorrectly, as long as it's not true or false or multiple choice. Whoever has the most points at the end of the game will win a pumpkin-flavored candy of your choosing.
I choose none. So
can
I'm
I just have
out.
The Reese's that's shaped like a pumpkin?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, because that's what I want.
I'm playing again.
I didn't want to say that because we did Reese's last week.
It doesn't
but
matter. Reese's.
Yeah, still scientifically the best candy.
Yes, proven.
I would prefer just a regular pumpkin, please.
Question number one. A new week means a new city getting self-driving cars. This time the cars belong to Waymo, the autonomous vehicle division of Google's parent company, Alphabet. To what city is Waymo bringing its self-driving Chrysler Pacifica minivans? Rob.
Is it San Francisco?
It's not San Francisco. Stan?
Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
It's a deep cut for the Techathlon listeners.
But I feel like it's a no?
It's a no, believe it or not. Corinne?
Salt Lake City.
Not Salt Lake City. It's L.A.
That's brave.
Yeah.
So that's real brave.
Probably like easier grid there than San Francisco or gentler streets, slopes. I don't know.
Yeah. So their plan is in LA is a whole process to get an autonomous vehicle. There's a lot of permits and things to go through. So they're going to start with three minivans that have human drivers. And as they map out the city and get a 3D map of the city, then they may send the cars into autonomous mode. LA actually has this program where they can track scooters and other vehicles in real time. So the question is, will they start tracking autonomous cars in real time as well?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, it becomes a part of their traffic infrastructure.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, driving can't get worse in LA. The few times I've had to do it, I wish a car was driving so I could read the newspaper when it took me hours to go a very short time. So, you know what? Let's try it. Let's make it better. Get them, robots.
Question number two. It's good practice to let your rideshare driver know if you're going to bring a pet into the car. Maybe also to bring a blanket to cover the seats and assist with cleanup. But not everyone does that, which can lead to tense situations. Which rideshare app company is launching a new feature this week where you can summon a car specifically to go somewhere with a pet? Rob?
Is it Lyft?
It's not Lyft.
Ooh.
Corinne?
Is it Uber?
It is Uber.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, man.
The feature, which is called Uber Pet, will launch on October 16th, which is this Wednesday. It costs an additional $3 to $5. And drivers will also get a, quote, significant portion of the surcharge in addition to their tip.
I appreciate that they're doing this because I, in the past, have shuttled around in lifts with cats, and I always would want to do the polite thing and call them and say, hey, I have a cat. She's in a carrier. I just wanted to make sure that's okay with you. And that was just me being overly polite but also wanting to protect my rating.
Sure.
But at the same time, I hope that the expectation is that people with visual impairments or blind people who have service animals aren't expected to do this.
Yeah, service animals are exempt from this. This is for non-service animals. Uber Pet will launch in 7 cities: Austin, Denver, Nashville, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Philadelphia, Phoenix, and Tampa Bay. Question number three. When Android 10 launched last month, we discussed how the Essential Phone got it on the first day. Now, 2 years after its first phone came out, Essential has new hardware: a thin vertical phone mostly meant to be interacted with via voice assistant AI. What's the name of this new project? Stan.
It's called, like, the Gem phone?
Yeah, Project Gem.
Project Gem. Okay, I knew it had Gem. I couldn't remember if it was, like, a kind of Gem or...
Do you feel like the Essential phone gets the award for the tech product that gets the most headline talk, but that will actually affect the fewest number of people because they're not going to buy one?
It's such a confusing thing because it had so much promise. and delivered on so little of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really wanted it to be good and cool because I really like, you know, one of their main promises was that they don't jam a bunch of stuff into Android. They just let you use basic Android, which is great, but it apparently wasn't great enough to make people buy the phone. And the new one does it have the thing that attaches the
Mods?
The little backpack?
No, I don't believe it has the
backpacks. It's too small for the mods.
Yeah. Oh. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's very thin and long. It has a button in the back, which is a fingerprint reader, and also the way that you can allegedly summon its AI to interact with the phone.
All right. Well, I don't want it.
It looks like a remote control.
I kind of want it, to be honest. I just want to try it.
Yeah.
Well, that's different than wanting it.
Just go to the store at the mall that's going to sell two of them a year. And then, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people will be really into this thing, but this whole trying to take advantage of like counterculture against big phones, it just doesn't seem like it's going to get traction to me.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Question number four. We often provide phone numbers to websites for two-factor authentication, a security measure where you receive a code via text and have to enter it to complete the login. It's a good way to stay secure, but what website revealed last week that it accidentally used those phone numbers along with email for advertising purposes? Rob.
Twitter.
It was Twitter. The website said...
You were really excited about that.
I was. Also because using your phone number for TF, two-factor authentication, is usually not the best idea, you know. There's better ways to do it, like using an authenticator app or security key. But whatever. Yeah. Sorry, Jason. I interrupted.
No, it's fine. The moment I said phone numbers, I watched your hand just hover over the buzzer. In its official statement, the website said, quote, "We're very sorry this happened and are taking steps to make sure we don't make a mistake like this again," which just I totally believe. Yeah. 100%.
It definitely is up there with the like, eh. Sorry?
Yeah. Oh, we're so sorry.
So sorry.
We're sorry we got busted.
Yeah. It just feels bad that they took a thing that you gave them in the name of security.
And they used it to make money.
In the exact opposite way.
Yeah.
Good point.
Question number five is a true or false question. Mac OS Catalina saw the launch of Apple's Catalyst program, which ports iPad programs onto the Mac. True or false, Netflix said it will make a standalone Mac OS app allowing for offline downloads on laptops or computers. Rob.
I think that's true.
It's false.
Oh, no.
They very deliberately said they will not make a Mac OS app, which is supposed to be a pretty big blow to the Catalyst program.
Yeah, because Apple promises a lot. Like the idea here is that if you want to have an experience on both iPad and Mac. Right now, you have to develop both of them from the ground up separately, and it takes a lot of time. The idea here is that you can develop an iPad app and then just port it over to the Mac, basically. So, like, the Twitter app is going to be exactly the same on the iPad as it is on the Mac now, which is a good promise to make. But also, if companies don't buy into it, then this is not really going to help us out that much. I saw the Post-it app. The Post-it app is very cool.
It does seem like it's good for developers, right? Like, save them a step.
It should be. And some of the stuff I've seen so far, like the Twitter app seems to work really well. I don't know. This is one of those things we're still really early on, and we're going to see how this plays out and how much Apple is willing to work to keep the iPad and the Mac separate because they've been converging for a while now.
Question number six. Hulu finally announced last week that it would allow certain shows to be downloaded on mobile devices for offline viewing. This brings it into line with Netflix and Amazon, who have both had this feature for years. In fact, which service offered downloads first? Corinne.
Amazon.
Amazon is correct. It developed the feature in 2015. It wasn't on Netflix for another year after that.
Yeah, it was the end of 2016. I remember everybody being super excited. It's still not the whole catalog on every platform, but, you know, it's nice for, you know, your subway viewing purposes because, you know.
Or plane traveling,
because, like, who reads anymore, right?
There are a few stipulations with this, though. The feature can only be used by those who have an ad-free plan.
Stan.
Stan went on a whole rant when we started talking about this in the office about how he thought offline downloading was dumb.
I'm just annoyed. I'm annoyed that Hulu Now, my Hulu with advertisement plan, the advertisements have started crashing the Hulu app.
They're like ads for Netflix.
Yeah. Hulu literally keeps ratcheting up how much of a pain in the butt it is to have these stupid ads. And yet I'm still paying for the cheap one. I don't know.
Stubbornly holding on.
Yeah. What's funny is that if it were just $12 and that's what it was, I'd be like, okay, sure, yeah, $12. But the fact that the cheaper one does exist for some reason makes it impossible for me to buy the one that would make my life just considerably better.
I don't know. They probably make more money off of you anyway when you factor in the advertising. I wonder how that math works out.
Yeah, I'm curious, although I never even see the advertisements anymore because the app on my smart TV crashes before I can even watch them. And then I go watch the new Big Mouth on Netflix.
I'm so glad we've dedicated our lives to technology. It's so grand.
As we're recording, this feature is still only available on iOS, so that's iPhones and iPads. It is not yet on Android as well, if you're looking for it. Question number 7. Sony confirmed last week that its next console will come out next year for the holidays, and it confirmed the name. What will we call the 5th iteration of the PlayStation? Stan?
It's called the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, that was a trick question.
Oh my God, it's so hard.
I saw Kurt's face go like, what? What did I miss?
No, just like, wait, it can't. Did I misread this? Like,
nope. It's just officially the PlayStation 5 now.
Oh God. Well, you know what? They're just going along with the trend of just calling the thing what it is, which I appreciate.
Yes. The PlayStation 5 will support 8K gaming, have a low power mode, and backwards compatibility with PlayStation 4 and PlayStation VR games.
And apparently a new haptic feedback system for the controllers, which sounds cool.
DualShock.
To replace the, like, straight-up vibration.
Right. I mean, it was the DualShock controller, right? The one that everybody loves so much from the original PlayStation?
Yeah. And
that thing was amazing.
One of the other cool little details I read about it is that the buttons will have variable pressure modes, so you can actually accomplish different things by pressing the button with different...
They're bringing force touch to the PlayStation.
Levels, yes. Of vigorousness.
Short press, long press.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It seems cool. We're not going to see it for a while still. It doesn't come out till what? Holiday 2020? Is that what they said?
Yeah,
Holiday 2020.
I'm sure I'll buy it.
And let the Hulu app crash on that instead.
Right.
That's what I will do.
Question number 8 is a multiple choice question. Pacific Gas and Electric, the power provider for much of Northern and Central California, began a planned power outage last Wednesday in an attempt to stop the spread of wildfires. As we're recording, it's estimated the outages could last until Tuesday, tomorrow, which means they may still be ongoing as you're listening to this. It's estimated that how many Californians could be without power during these outages? Is it A, 200,000, B, 400,000, C, 600,000, or D, 800,000? Corinne.
600,000?
Incorrect.
Boo.
800,000.
Sorry.
A lot of people.
Yeah, it also seems like it's been a moving target, too, because I had originally heard 500,000 at one point.
Well, they keep adding people.
Yeah, it's just updating the model. It's about the winds, right? It's sort of every time the weather model changes, they're like, oh, crap. It might go this way now.
Someone tweeted a picture of apparently there's an online utility to see if you're in the affected area. And there was a error message that said the map is temporarily unavailable.
Oh no.
So, yeah, not
lots of people trying to figure out if they can turn their lights on.
Not going good.
Yeah, what about the fire stations in that area? You know, are they losing their power? If so, that's very ironic.
Well, I mean, places with emergency generators should still be in pretty good shape. I mean, it's a tricky thing, and it's only really going to get worse and more common. It's just as these dry winds continue further up the California coast, which they're normally isolated in Southern California around Los Angeles. It's just like, you know, fire season's all the freaking time.
Yeah, you can actually read more about that and find out how winds are causing wildfires on PopSci.com. Question number 9. Parental controls can be tough to manage with all of the devices that connect to the internet these days. What tech company released an update last week that will let parents set time limits for individual apps regardless of what device their kids are using? Stan.
I know there was an Xbox one, but I don't think it's Microsoft. I'm going to say Amazon.
Amazon is incorrect.
Oh, darn.
Corinne.
Google.
Google is incorrect.
Rob. There's Keith.
Rob.
I'm going to guess Microsoft.
That's it. Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, Stan, you knew it.
Darn.
Yeah, it's across the Xbox, Windows 10 PCs, and even Android phones if they have the Microsoft app installed on them.
Ah, that's what threw me because I was like, there's not I would figure there would be phones involved here, but
no, they are.
I guess they're assuming you're going to run the run the Microsoft app.
Yeah,
I knew it was I knew it was for Xbox because I immediately thought that I will not install this because all it will do will tell me what a bad parent I am for letting my kids play Xbox all the time.
I will tell you that anytime you want to.
It'll be true then too.
I think it's a pretty nifty feature. So you can say to your kids, you get 20 minutes of Netflix time and 30 minutes of Minecraft. And like, you know, they can only spend exactly that amount per app.
Yeah, they can.
As opposed to general, like a 9-to-5 time limit.
Until right. they go to their friend's house.
Which is why like kids like going to their friend's house at this point.
And question number 10, the final question of the round. Phishing is a type of online attack where spammers will send you an email imitating a website or service in an attempt to get your login credentials. It's why banks and social networks will often say that they never ask you for your password in an email. What website slash app launched a new tool last week that lists any official email it sends users as a way to verify that the message and any links within it are authentic? Rob.
Is it Capital One?
It was not Capital One.
Just only guessing because they had that bad hack and thinking maybe they're trying to get ahead of this stuff.
Totally.
But
totally.
I was wrong.
No, it's a good guess.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just not... Just not the answer.
Website slash app. Website slash app.
Corinne.
PayPal.
PayPal is incorrect.
All right, I just took a shot.
That is both a website and an app.
I know, that's so that's pretty much how I got there.
Stan.
Facebook. I forgot what the question was. Me too. But usually the answer is Facebook, so.
You're close. It's a Facebook property. It's Instagram. So now if you go into your settings and into the security, it'll show you a list of all the emails that they've sent you so you know that it's a real email.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to do that.
Nope.
I think everyone's going to keep...
Have you ever opened an email Instagram sent you?
No. You know what I do in Gmail? I wait until my storage gets a lot of stuff in it, and then I click on those two other tabs that aren't my main tab, and I delete everything without ever looking at any of it that's in there. So it was social and promotions.
And updates.
I have never looked at any of those.
So the score right now was tied 2-2-2. So here's my tiebreaker question for you. A few weeks ago, we talked about the launch of Mario Kart on mobile platforms. And it was just announced that new characters are being added to the game. How many new characters came out in the most recent update?
13.
I was going to say 4.
I was actually going to say 3, so.
It's 14, so Corinne wins.
Wow.
They're like, I don't know, blue turtle, yellow turtle, probably mushroom guy.
Scooby-Doo.
Red mushroom guy. Have you played the
I
Mario Kart
yet? I just think about
yet?
How many people they added to Smash Brothers. Like, it's a lot.
But have you played the Mario Kart
I
game
I haven't,
yet?
No.
It is so unfun. Like, it's frustrating, and it's... I just did not enjoy it.
So it's Mario Kart.
At all. Yeah, but, like, Mario Kart was frustrating in a fun way, like a rewarding way that I remember fondly.
Fair.
Like, I don't know. The new Mario Kart Mobile, it seems like... I just don't enjoy it. And plus the fact that you got to pay for a subscription.
Well, you don't have to. You just have to pay for it if you want all the stuff.
Yeah, which I clearly do, but I don't want to pay for it.
No, I know.
I don't know.
It's okay. One of your kids will do it, and then you'll just pay for it anyway.
Yes, that will almost certainly happen.
Well, congrats, Corinne. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back. Just over a week ago, the new Joker movie came out in theaters and won big at the box office. In honor of that, we're going to play a special Joker-themed edition of one of our all-time favorite games here on Tekathlon, Supervillain or CEO.
That's right, Jason. The 2019 film Joker might be controversial, but one thing we can all agree on is that Joker character has been pretty fun to watch over the decades. The villain's been played by Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, and of course, Joaquin Phoenix, who also plays a pretty mean Johnny Cash. In this game, I'll read a quote and you tell me who said it. The Joker in any of the films he's been in, or a tech CEO, because let's face it, they're all kind of jokers in their own way.
Got him.
See what he did there?
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
To get us started, I'll give the group two easy ones just for fun, so just shout out the answer. So if I said, where does he get those wonderful toys?
Joker.
That's Clown Man.
Yes. You'd say Clown Man. That's an acceptable answer for Joker. And if I say, Waz and I started Apple in my parents' garage when I was 20.
Clown man.
Clown man.
You guessed that it was also the Joker. Yeah. Yes. We're going to start with you, Stan. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. This first one, the quote is, "Haven't you ever heard of the healing power of laughter?"
This is hard, but I think I know it. I'm just going to let you. Just go with your gut. First answer, best answer.
Yeah, I don't know. The Joker, I guess. I've seen very few of these movies in which the Joker appears, so.
Okay, yes, that is correct. It was the Joker from Batman in 1989. Number two, the quote is for you, Corinne, "You have all these rules and you think they'll save you."
I'm going to say that's a CEO. Mm.
That was also the Joker.
Huh.
That was the Joker from The Dark Knight, 2008, Heath Ledger. This is for you, Jason.
Okay.
"Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life."
CEO.
Yeah, that's Steve Jobs. Easy one. Commencement speech at Stanford in 2005. Number four, we're back to you, Stan. Are you ready?
No.
Okay. This quote I feel like is really good for you. Okay.
Great.
"Do I really look like a guy with a plan? You know what I am? I'm a dog chasing cars. I wouldn't know what to do with one if I caught it. You know, I just do things."
That was my favorite Jeff Bezos speech that I remember. He gave it the dumpster behind Whole Foods. That's got to be the Joker, right?
Yeah, that's also the Joker from The Dark Knight, 2008, Heath Ledger.
Nice.
Okay. Number five, Corinne.
Mm-hmm.
"Don't compare yourself with anyone in this world. If you do so, you are insulting yourself."
That's a CEO.
Yeah, Bill Gates. Jason, you ready?
Yeah.
"I love this guy. He's so intense."
It's Joker.
Joker from the Suicide Squad film, 2016, played by Jared Leto. Number seven, Stan, are you ready? "You get a reputation for stability if you are stable for years."
I guess it's got to be a CEO, right? Because the Joker is famously unstable.
True, that's Mark Zuckerberg. He said it in 2015 in an interview with Wired. Number eight, Corinne.
Mm-hmm.
"For my whole life, I didn't know if I even really existed. But I do, and people are starting to notice."
That's the Joker.
Yeah, that's the most recent one, Joaquin Phoenix.
It's so bleak.
I know.
Dark stuff.
Okay. Jason.
Dark Knight.
Oh, dear.
Jason, this is the last one.
Okay.
"We're going to make it happen. As God is my bloody witness, I'm hellbent on making it work."
This is the first one where I feel like it could be either one. CEO.
You're right. It was Elon Musk talking about SpaceX in an interview with Wired in 2008. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
So, first person to complete this sentence wins. And if you guys tie, I have another one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
"You ever dance with the devil in the..."
Pale Moonlight.
Jason wins. You know what movie that's from?
It's from the...
That's the Jack Nicholson one.
It's the Tim Burton Batman.
The Jack Nicholson one.
Yeah.
I literally asked that at trivia last night as a question.
That's awesome.
I don't know anything about Batman, I guess. It's what we all learned here today.
Thanks, Rob. Let's move on to our final game of the episode. Last week, Amazon announced a new version of its Kindle e-reader specifically for kids. The $110 e-reader comes with a kid-friendly case that adds extra padding, a dictionary function for looking up unfamiliar words, and adds access to Amazon's Free Time Unlimited service, which offers content for kids and parental controls for adults. By now, we're used to companies like Amazon announcing devices for children, but the relationship between kids and gadgets is still more complicated than ever.
Yeah, technology and gadgets are undeniably attractive to kids. I mean, like, if you need proof of that, try to take away the Xbox or the smartphone from one of my kids, and you'll land yourself in the emergency room, or at least be really annoyed, which happens to me on a regular basis. While gadgets like Amazon's new kid-specific Kindle make some amount of sense, other products have missed the mark by quite a wide margin. In this game, we'll explore some of the most ill-fated kid gadgets ever to hit the market. Corinne, we'll start with you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, question number one. Back in 2017, Mattel planned to sell a smart speaker for kids with a built-in camera and microphone. The company billed it as, quote, "the first of its kind connected kids room platform," end quote, and made privacy groups as well as child advocacy organizations exactly as upset as you'd imagine. The company delayed the product and eventually canceled it completely last year. What was the name that the ill-fated product shared with a famous Greek philosopher?
What? Okay. We'll just say Socrates.
It was Aristotle.
Oh, that was my first thought.
Aristotle.
like Chipotle. Oh.
That was like a baby at the CES that year, wasn't it? When it first came out, I remember like reading about it as like one of the big things to come out of CES that year.
Yeah. And, you know, they tried to bake all this privacy stuff into it, and they like harped on privacy as one of the selling points of it. And people were just so worried about it. And now Amazon regularly sells an Echo Dot specifically for kids.
I think the camera is the most worrying thing to a lot of people. Like, the visual aspect is much less scary than the audio aspect.
Yeah, and that's fair. So that product got canceled unceremoniously. Mattel said it was officially because of a change in leadership, and it did not fit with Mattel's outlook on technology for the future.
Does that mean they just fired the person whose idea it was?
Pretty much.
Presumably. Jason, question number two. In 2017, a large tech company launched a messaging service for kids that allowed parents to tightly control who children can and can't talk to. Crafty as they are, users quickly figured out how to get into group chats with strangers by exploiting a design flaw in the system itself. The company closed the loophole, but not before some users could take advantage of it. What tech company was it?
Facebook.
Yes, it was Facebook Messenger for kids. The kids could get into a group chat with one of their friends and one of their friends' friends. So that meant they could talk to people that the parents didn't explicitly approve, which was a problem, because if there's other worse parents.
It's like a Ponzi scheme of messaging.
Yeah, like it's just kids trying to figure out by any means necessary how to do the one thing you tell them not to do. All right, Rob.
Hello.
I was born too late for this phenomenon, but in 2005, Disney Interactive Studios launched a game that essentially acted like a social network for kids between the ages of 6 and 14. The game took care to prevent its young users from swearing or revealing personal information by carefully policing its chat feature and offering even safer communication methods, like restricting players to sending and receiving messages only from predetermined menus. It operated all the way until 2017 and reportedly had more than 200 million users at one point, and also dragged a whole generation of kids kicking and screaming into social media dependency as we know it now. What was the animal-themed name of this proto-social network?
A proto-social network that came out from Disney.
Yeah, we're too old for it.
That
had an
animal name to it.
Yes.
Was it Safari?
It was Club Penguin.
Well, I was close. Penguins you see on safaris, so.
It sounds vaguely familiar, but.
Club Penguin, really?
Yeah.
Well, if you.
I'm young. I'm like 10 years younger than you are.
Actually, that makes sense because of like the Mickey Mouse Club. Like, you can understand why Disney would go with that.
Yeah. So it was, like I said, it had over 200 million users at one point. And if you ask people of a certain age, whom I'm sure will listen to this and tweet at me, it was very fun and popular. Corinne, question number four. Kids have terrible taste in music. Now they can exercise that lack of audio acumen with full-fledged apps like Spotify on their smartphones, but it wasn't always the case. In the late 90s, electronics company Tiger released an audio system in which kids could use small cartridges to listen to one-minute-long, low-quality audio clips of popular songs. It was an effort to keep kids from stealing their parents' Discman. What were these ill-fated products called?
I have no idea. Literally no clue.
Jason, it looks so self-satisfied right now. I feel like we have to let him say it.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer, but I remember it.
Yeah. I remember the thing. It's just, I don't know.
They were Tiger Tunes? That's my guess.
No, they were called Hit Clips.
Hit Clips.
And like, they only had a minute of the song. What's funny to me is that when I went looking for this, because I remembered a product like this, the product I was actually thinking of was called Pocket Rockers, which is from when I was a kid in the mid-80s. And it used essentially small modified 8-track tapes that gave you full 3-minute songs and you could listen to them. In the commercial, they used like a Creedence Clearwater Revival song to sell it to kids.
You know, that's what kids listen to, CCR.
Right. So they sold a bunch of them, even though they were literally pretty much trash.
The portable player, it was almost like an old Nintendo system. It was a cartridge. You had to pluck it in, and then you could listen.
Yeah, a minute.
Right, just the same minute of that song, and like wherever it ended, that was where it ended.
I bet there's a lot of those in landfills now, and that makes me sad.
Yeah, and apparently
plastic, delicious.
The Pocket Rockers, the original ones from the mid-80s, can be very valuable now. So if you have those CCR tapes kicking around, put them up on eBay.
I stream my CCR now.
All right. Question number five, Jason. Kids love talking to dolls and stuffed animals, but in 2016, a doll called My Friend Kayla from a company called Genesis Toys was reportedly recording kids talking, transcribing that information, then sharing it with third parties. Officials in one European country went so far as to call the doll a, quote, espionage device, and told parents to turn it off as soon as possible. What European country was it?
I remember this story, too.
I think it was Germany?
It was Germany.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you asked the doll if it could keep a secret, it would say yes, that it could.
That's the creepiest thing I've ever heard.
Which might be the worst part of the whole thing somehow, but it turns out it reportedly could not. So if you see a...
Reportedly.
So if you see a My Friend Kayla doll on special at some cut-rate toy store, maybe don't buy it.
Do not buy it. Yeah. But say hello.
Yeah. All right. Question number six. Rob.
I'm ready.
While on the topic of Germany, the country has taken a hard stance on a number of gadgets for children. Back in 2017, officials from the National Telecommunications Agency banned an entire category of kid gadgets and suggested parents destroy them immediately. What kind of device got the ban hammer?
Was it any kind of smart speaker?
It was smart watches specifically. Whoa. Because they were worried about listening, but also about GPS tracking.
Interesting. I feel like Germany and Europe, I mean, they're further ahead of us on issues of privacy.
In terms of privacy, yeah.
Protecting children.
So there you go. Don't wear your kid's smartwatch to Germany or somebody will grab it off your wrist and smash it as per German law. That's not really German law, Dome. So, Jason, I think you won the game.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was good week for Jason.
Yeah. Jason's only 11 years old, so it really makes sense that he'd win.
The deck was stacked.
I am our youth consultant.
Yes.
Well, Stan, thank you, and thank you all for listening at home. We'll catch you next week for another edition of Popular Science's Techathlon. Techathlon is a popular science podcast. We're available on all major podcast platforms, so subscribe wherever you're listening now. And if you like what you hear, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It will help other people to find the show. You can buy our merch, including t-shirts, tote bags, and mugs at popsci.threadless.com. The show is produced by the entire PopSci tech team and me, Jason Letterman. Our theme music is by Billy Cadden. If you have questions, suggestions, or opinions to share, tweet us at TechAthlon Show. Thanks for listening.